Sportsnet CFL insider Arash Madani. Good morning, Arash. How are you?
Ryan, I'm great, man. How you doing?
Well, this is big news. I'm good, and it sounds like Bo Levi will be in red and white for a while. That's an extension for the number one quarterback for the Stampeders. That's the news, right?
That is the news, and it's amazing, Ryan, when we think about the evolution of the career of Bo Levi Mitchell, who incredibly today turns 25. Just think over the last 3 years of where he's been in pro football, where he's been even on the depth chart in the organization, and where he has vaulted himself to in such a short period of time. It really wasn't that long ago he was buried on the depth chart, and there was intrigue as to this kid and what he was about behind Kevin Glenn and Drew Tate. And now he finds himself locked up as the guy moving forward.
And how much of that is on Bo Levi, and how much of credit would you send to John Huffnagel and Dave Dickinson, guys that clearly have had some success with the position and at the position?
Oh, I mean, look, it's all part of it. It's an organizational success. There's no doubt about that. I mean, the play calling of Dave Dickinson and, you know, the development of Mitchell. But ultimately, the kid had to go out and do it, and he did. And so often in this, you know, in the CFL especially, so many quarterbacks are brought in and brought out and shuffled in and out because they're just unable to adapt to the Canadian game, to the field, to the rules, to, you know, an altogether different version of football that they've been used to their entire life. Mitchell wasn't that guy. Mitchell was the guy who was able to embrace it, not quite right away, but I thought there were a couple of things that stood out. You know, after the Grey Cup win, John Huffnagel said, no moment is too big for him. And at every single opportunity, whenever it was presented to Mitchell, come in relief in your first game, start your first game, play your first playoff game, go on, you know, every single milestone he was able to deliver in those situations. This has been in the making for quite some time, this extension, but it's a result of being able to deliver and being able to perform at every significant stop along the way.
What about Bo Levi has allowed him to have this success? It's not often we're talking about a 25-year-old quarterback that is the number one, that led the league in quarterback rating, that was your Grey Cup MVP. Why him?
Well, he's the guy, man. I mean, look, it's definitely a different path that he's gone. I mean, he transferred out of Division I, but everywhere he's been, you know, he's been a champion in high school, in college, when he ended up at Eastern Washington. And there's a moxie to him. I mean, Ryan, you've talked with him. You've seen this guy develop. You've seen him grow before your very eyes. I thought one thing that Dave Dickinson pointed out during Grey Cup week that was interesting, he said, nothing really phases Bo. And here's a guy who just goes about his business and he delivers. I mean, he's your quintessential Texan, right? The Texan quarterback, old Bo Levi. He's got the gun in the holster, and he's able to fire the bullets where they need to be. And we saw that in the Grey Cup, the 10 consecutive completions at a time when the team needed it most. Just as the momentum started to shift in the third quarter after the big Justin Hickman hit on Rob Maver, it was Mitchell who led the team down the field with a huge drive that ended up being, you know, the game-winning points. These are the moments. These are the snapshots. These are the opportunities that Mitchell's been given, and he's thrived in them, which is why, you know, when you add it all up upon final analysis, he's your franchise quarterback.
Franchise quarterback already. It is something. Just his first year as the starter right out of the gate. Where does he rank around the CFL with an aging Ricky Ray and some other? It seems like a transitional phase if you look at the ages of the CFL starting quarterbacks.
Well, yes and no, though. I mean, Ricky Ray sure is getting up there, but you know, the guy that Mitchell dueled against in the Grey Cup, Zach Caleros, is a young guy too, who's definitely on the rise. He's an up and coming dude. There's no question there. Mike Riley is another, you know, quarterback who I think, if he's healthy, and who knows about Jonathan Crompton over in Montreal, could he be the next guy? We'll find out. But there's definitely two eras and two generations here, and it's split in the middle over in BC with Travis Lule, just because we're not sure of Lule's health and if he's able to sustain himself. Here's the deal, though, Ryan, is that Mitchell was locked up. It was last January the Stampeders gave him a contract extension. That had him locked up through 2016. Now they're giving him real starting quarterback money, and they have the security that they have himself locked up. Scott Mitchell of the Calgary Sun reports it's through 2018. Hey, to have a quarterback for four more seasons under contract, that's great security for the Stampeder organization.
What is starting quarterback money in the league now in this new salary cap?
I mean, it all depends, and who knows how Mitchell's is going to be structured, but it's in the four fifty vicinity.
Wow. And big news on the other side of the ball as well is as the Stampeders announced Juwan Simpson's got signed an extension as well. I suppose not a coincidence that the leaders on each side of the football are hanging around Calgary a little longer.
Yeah, and look, that's an interesting one to me because usually when you creep up in age, you start to wonder a little bit. And it was Simpson after the Grey Cup win who said, "We're just getting started." He told me that in a one-on-one interview, and I remember walking away thinking, I wonder if he is going to be part of this thing that's just getting started moving forward. But Simpson's leader of the defense, you talk about a guy that you want, especially in a harder Rich Stubler's defense, Juwan Simpson fits that bill. I mean, ultimate leadership guy, two rings now, and a guy who understands the defense makes a ton of sense. This is becoming very interesting now, Ryan, because a lot of the building blocks, I mean, we have seen very little departure from a personnel standpoint. Yeah, Nick Lewis is gone, but Mo Price is gone. But usually championship teams start to disintegrate because they're overpaid in free agency. And that hasn't happened in Calgary. And I'm very intrigued to see now coming into this 2015 season with so many of the main guys in place. Yes, Sinopoli's gone too. But receiver depth was never an issue with the Stamps. We may be on the verge of watching something pretty unique happen over there at Methan.
And talking to Bo Levi, I mean, he's drooling at the potential of throwing to those two import receivers on the outside. I mean, they're not going to really miss Nick Lewis in terms of they're still probably one of the strongest receiving cores at import in the league.
Yeah, no question. It's been that way for quite some time. And that's the beauty of the depth of this organization. At no point along the way has the loss of one or two players in season due to injury or one or two players due to departure via trade or free agency affected this group. And that's what you want to build. That's what they're trying to do over there in Ottawa, and they're having a difficult time in their infancy of doing it, is to build depth. That's a difficult thing to do in the salary cap era, and the Stampeders have done a really nice job of building a roster properly.
What do you make of the trade they made earlier in the offseason, bringing in another linebacker? Was that just simply a situation where you deal from an area of strength at a receiver and add in another area, or was this just a simple player they've been chasing? How did you see that shake down?
No, I mean, absolutely. I mean, you look at that situation. Okay, Mo Price is, he's coming off a series of injuries at a position where speed is a premium. You have a position where you are so deep in that area. You know, the Stampeders had to sit throughout the postseason a receiver, and they shuffled who exactly it was going to be, but a receiver who could start on any team in the league. So you give up Price, who's your highest paid receiver, who's your oft-injured receiver, and you get yourself a young, dynamic, impact linebacker that Ottawa really liked, and many CFL people that you talk to really like too, in Jasper Simmons. So I like that trade for Calgary. I understand why the Red Blacks had to do it. Henry Burris had nobody to throw to. Now, over there in Ottawa, they've significantly upgraded their receiving core. But when you're dealing from the position of strength, which the Stampeders were, those are the kinds of trades that can really help your football team.
Where are we at in the offseason? What kind of timelines are we looking at in terms of teams getting together or maybe contractual things to look for? What can we expect between now and week one?
Well, it's March now, so this is cattle call season. This is when all the CIS prospects that are looking for pro opportunities are going to gather at first at regional combines, Ryan, and then ultimately they're going to meet in Toronto at the end of the month for the national combine. And so they'll be put through the test of 40-yard dashes and height and, long jump and high jump. And they'll also go through the interview process with teams where football teams want to find out just how important football is to these kids. And then that will then lead into April and then the draft. And, once May rolls around, the draft is complete. You're only looking at a few more weeks until training camp. So at this point, it's about now. Yeah, we saw Billy Parker, the LOS get extended, and Mitchell and Simpson. At this point now, moving forward, the focus will be on the evaluation camp, the combine, the draft, and then ultimately getting ready for rookie camp and main training camp.
Rash, appreciate your insights on the Stamps here. As you've noted, that you'll have a piece up on sportsnet.ca very soon on the extension for Bo Levi. Just thoughts on the Renaissance man that you are. What else is coming up? I know the Jays are just getting underway, and the tennis season, we're through the first major already. What's next on your radar?
Actually, I'm in Vancouver. I'm heading out to UBC today, Ryan, where Canada will play Japan in Davis Cup World Group. It'll be Milos Raonic against Kei Nishikori. Nishikori is now actually fourth in the world, and Raonic is hovering around 6 and 7. They're going to meet Sunday in what should be a heavyweight fight. This is their seventh match all time. They're 2 and 2 in their last four, including one of the longest matches in U.S. Open history in September. So it should be fun. Canada and Japan beginning Friday on Sportsnet 1.
And it's a tough matchup for Raonic. You'd think it'd be, you know, with that reach and that huge serve, but Nishikori's giving him a real tough time.
Hey, man, you're talking about, again, a top four player in the world.
Yeah.
It's no joke. I mean, you know, we always talk about the top four being Fed, Nadal, Djokovic, and Andy Murray. Kei Nishikori has crept ahead of Andy Murray
Wow.
in the tennis hierarchy.
That's pretty impressive, and I'm sure to much acclaim in Asia. That's big news. You don't see that very often. Finally, just
17 Japanese journalists have been
Wow.
credentialed.
In
for this event. They have come over from Japan because Kei Nishikori is representing his country. And people in Canada sometimes scoff at Davis Cup. I'm very fortunate. I get to travel the world and cover tennis, but this is what happens. This is the reality of how big and significant Davis Cup is. 17 Japanese journalists are here in Vancouver for a weekend tennis competition against Canada. That's the significance globally of this event.
And is this a homecoming of sorts for Vasek Pospisil, now more famous and successful than he's been in near his home turf? Who's on this team? Is it Dancevic and Nestor as well?
Yeah, it's Milos Raonic, Vasek Pospisil, Frank Dancevic, and Daniel Nestor. The interesting part for Pospisil is actually later today over at the Kitsilano Beach tennis courts. They have 11 tennis courts over there. They're actually dedicating a plaque and commemorating Pospisil for his Wimbledon doubles title win last year with Jack Sock, the one that came out of nowhere. Sock and Pospisil haven't played this season, Ryan, because Sock actually underwent hip surgery, but they're scheduled to finally play together later this month. And I'm very intrigued to see as we get into the spring and the summer and the boatload of tournaments ahead, if they're able to recreate the magic that had them, you know, atop the doubles world last year.
Yeah, and Pospisil's health, he was fighting at times last year. Where's he at right now?
Yeah, his health is terrific, which is something that he's really needed because he's had a number of injuries he's had to deal with along the way.
Arash, fantastic catching up. Thank you for joining us, and enjoy the Davis Cup in Vancouver, and hopefully you've got some sunny skies and beautiful Vancouver this time of year.
Always good, Ryan. Thanks, man.
All right, that is Arash Madani from Sportsnet.